did that, and it said that it cost about 3 times as much to make a penny than what it was worth. And boy, I got to thinking to myself that, boy, I'm thankful that love has nothing to do with
right.
money. I started thinking about over here in Matthew chapter number 15, you have this lady here. It says that in verse number 22, it says, and behold, the woman of Canaan came out of the same coast,
yes.
and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou
yes.
son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed for the devil, except that the Lord answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. And I thought to myself, well, that's about how people are. You know, somebody's trying to get help, and everybody else is just worried about how to bother them. They want them to go away, but it says,
yes.
but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yep.
And she came, and it says, and she came and worshipped him,
yep.
saying, Lord, help
me. Yeah.
And it says, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs.
Right.
And she said,
hey,
truth, Lord,
boy.
Get the dogs.
Yeah.
Into the crumbs.
That's right.
From the master's table. And boy, I thought to myself that, you know, love has nothing to do with worth. This old lady, she came to the Lord and she had realized that she didn't deserve what
right.
she was, what
right.
she was,
right.
you know, what she deserved was hell.
Yeah.
But yep. what he had to provide was mercy and
yeah.
God.
And just every time he said, follow me. And what I noticed most about it was after follow me, there's a period. Just follow me, period.
Right.
Follow me, period.
Yep.
Follow me, period.
Yep.
And, you know, it doesn't say follow me and it's just going to be a bed of roses and sunshine or nothing like that. He just said, follow me.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, but he did say over there that he said, follow me. And he promised, you know, he said, I'll give you eternal life. He promised us the Comforter, and he promised us
right.
that no man would be able to pluck us out of his hand.
Right.
And I was reading over there where they got in that ship, and he said, let us go to the other side.
Right.
And got out there, and that storm came, and, you know, they all got scared, and he was asleep, and they woke him up, and he calmed the storm. And he's with us always.
Right.
He promised he'd go with us always, even to the end.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes we get in them. Getting them storms, it's hard not to get down, but he's always there for us.
Right.
He's always there with us, and I thank him for that comforter that he gives us.
Yeah.
It's on the inside of us.
I don't need silver, and I don't need gold. I don't need the things of this world to satisfy my soul. Oh, but I need Jesus, 'cause Jesus knows me, and that's all that matters, 'cause he is the master, and he's my everything. He's all I need when trials come, and he's all I need when there's nowhere to turn, and when I'm in trouble and I'm caught in a storm, he takes care of. He's all I need when time will come and I cross that river and my life here is done and I fought the battle, the victory's been won, and he's all I need. I don't need fortune and I don't need fame. I don't really care if anyone ever knows my name, 'cause I know Jesus, and Jesus knows me, and that's all that matters, 'cause he is the master, and he's my everything, and he's all I need when trials come. And he's all I need when there's nowhere to turn. And when I'm in trouble and I'm caught in a storm, he takes care of me. And he's all I need when that time will come and I cross that river and my life here is done. And I fought the battle, the victory's been won, and he's all I need.
Hey. Thank God.
Good job. Yeah.
Good. Got your Bible? Let's open up in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Book of Romans, chapter 8. I thank God for all that good singing, good testimonies. I appreciate most of all the Lord they're bragging on. That's what makes it good. It's who they're talking about. It's not who's saying it. It's not who's singing it. It's the one they're singing about. Amen. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. And you pray for us. The Lord help us tonight. And we'll start reading. We'll start reading verse number 26. That's not really where the message is at. I just like that verse. It says, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, and we still do know that, amen. Yes. Said, and we know that all things, thank God, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm going to read one more verse in the book of Genesis, chapter number 50. One more verse, the book of Genesis, chapter number 50. You pray for us. Maybe two verses in Genesis 50, verse number 19, verse number 20. This is at the end of Joseph's days, end of the book of Genesis. And the Bible said in verse 19, said, and Joseph said unto them, speaking about his brethren, brethren. Wow. Said, fear not, for am I in the place of God. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And to God, I sure ask you for help tonight. Father, you know our voice this week. God, you understand our infirmities. God, you know where we're at in our flesh. But for a few minutes of time tonight, I pray that you'd anoint us from on high. I pray, God, you give us good unction to preach, God. I pray that you'd anoint it one more time. Help us, Lord, tonight to say the best thing that we ever have said about you, Lord. I pray, God, you'd encourage the hearts of your people tonight. I pray, God, tonight that the Lord, I don't know what everybody needs, but God, I'm trusting by the aid of the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, you're going to pass by our way and speak to our hearts and meet with us in our condition. And God, I do thank you tonight for the blessed King James Bible. I thank you tonight, Lord, that you preserved it unto this generation. I pray, God, you'd help us tonight to tell it like you'd intend. For it to be told would be our prayer. And Lord, I love you and I thank you. I bless your high holy name. In Christ's name, I humbly beg and ask all these favors. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Of course, I've been preaching there for some time on the midweek service on if God be for us, who can be against us? He points out there the four stages of what salvation looks like. And we find predestination in the life of Abraham. And we find the calling in the life of Isaac. And we find justification in the life there of Jacob. But oh, listen, that's not where salvation stops. I thank God, listen, friend, and what you see before you tonight, it's not always going to look like this. I'm glad there is coming a day that the saints of God are going to be glorified. And we're not always going to be down low. And thank God, we're not always going to be in our flesh. And we're not always going to be fighting hell. But there is a day coming, good neighbor, that the church of God's going to be on the upside. And we're going to be on the glory side. I'm telling you, thank God, and there's a day coming, friend, and that, listen, and the last page of this thing, I'm going to live right here in Revelation chapter 3. I'm waiting on the door to open and the voice to speak out and to say, come up hither, amen. And when he says it, friend, and just like that, I will be changed, amen. Oh, listen to me, friend. I've got to thinking about this, and I got to be real careful tonight. I really listen. I don't say this lightly, and I don't really know even how to say this to you. I mean, I want to preach right, and I want to preach truth every time. But they sometimes, God, give me something that I just can't hardly wait. I was telling my wife driving down the road. I said, honey, I said, God's put something in my heart. I said, God's put something in my heart. And I said, I sure hope you'll help me get it out. And I got to tell it to her, Brother Jones, and God got to meet with us, thank God. I said, hallelujah, amen. And we're going to look at the life of Joseph. And I want to say this. I preach mainly probably out of there, out of the book of Genesis. But you stay tuned. I'm going to paraphrase that chapter 50. He said, what you meant unto evil, he said, God meant it unto good. And Brother Kyle, the Holy Ghost, and God built my heart over this. I want you to listen. And you know what happened right there in one verse? And listen, the great author and the finisher of our faith and the sweet God of glory, and without changing a word, and without changing one period, and without changing a comma, and without changing one difficulty, and without changing one direction, and without changing one event of his life, in one verse, he rewrote Joseph's whole life story. In one verse, amen. And now listen, thank God, I want you to hear me. And once you go home, thank God. And you understand when you open your Bible and you turn to Genesis 37. And for the next 14 chapters, it's a bad way for Joseph. At 13 years, and Joseph's wondering what's going on. He had a dream as a young man, and all this brought him heartache and hardship. And nobody's for him, everybody's against him. But all standing on one side, all of a sudden when he gets over here and he gets to looking back there, and the God of glory said, I know they meant it for evil. He said, but I meant it for good. All of a sudden his whole life, I want y'all to get this tonight, and this is the message. I might preach a little longer, but this is it. This is all there is, amen. And when he got on that fair shore, and when the Holy Ghost put in his heart, and what he really had been doing over his whole life, and Joseph looked back and he said, man, I thought that my life was a life of trouble. And he said, but standing here, thank God, it looks like it's been a life for the glory and the grace of God, amen. I'm saying this to you, friend, it'll be no different for any child of God, amen. And when we stand on that shore and we look back over our days, it don't matter about the miles of trials. It don't make no difference about the tribulation. And when we look back, we'll say it's all been glory, amen. It's all been glory, thank God. I'm saying this, friend, you hear me tonight. There came a point in time in Joseph's life as the God dealt in him. There came a point in time in Joseph's life when he finally realized what God had done. And now standing on that fair shore, he looks back over that place. You understand, there was a day he was just coming down through there at the beloved of his father, wearing a coat of many colors, having the time of his life, being the favored son. I remember what that's like, Brother Rod, and when the Holy Ghost clothes you with all goodness, amen, and you didn't know nobody didn't like you, and you're just living in a state of love, and God loved you and you loved him, and that's all that mattered. But he found out pretty quick that his brethren did not like him, amen. And oh, listen, they throwed him down in a pit. And if you'd ask old Joseph, if you'd ask Joseph on that day, and it said, man alive, this is the lowest point in my life. And but then there came a day, and Joseph was standing at the end of his life. And when he looked back on the same pit, it was no longer the lowest point. It was the first step to the highest point, amen. Hallelujah, thank God. I wouldn't have gone, I wish I was a good preacher. I'd have preached the wax out of that right then. But you just pretend with me, all right? I'm saying this, friend. There came a point in time when he looked back, and no doubt as a 17-year-old boy, getting put down in a pit. That's not where he wanted to be had. That's not what he was looking for. He wasn't looking for everybody to hate him. And he probably thought, oh my. That boy, when they put him in that cage, and the Ishmaelites locked the door behind him, and they started on their way down to Egypt, he probably got to thinking, I don't know if he can get any worse than this. But Preacher Savage, standing on the other shore, he looked back and he said, oh God, you was the one who dug the hole. You was the one that sent the Ishmaelites by. You was the one got me down to Egypt, amen. I'm saying this, friend. And thank God things ain't always what they seem. And things ain't always what they seem. And things ain't near as bad as we think they are. And sometimes even in the midst of the worst trial of your life, at the lowest point, at the darkest point, at the coldest point, at the loneliest point, and when you're down so low and you don't know where else to go, and you think, where's God? Where's man? Where's anybody? But then standing over here, and you look back and you say, golly, and the Lord was there every step of the way, amen. Your life won't be no different. I'm telling you, I understand. There's folks that I get thinking about, and I think, man alive, they've went through some stuff in life. That's stuff that probably a lot of us can't even relate to. They've lived lives that we can't even relate to. I was thinking about this today, and I've got permission to share. I'm going to share. But I was thinking about this today. Some of the families that we're sending out things for over Thanksgiving, and they had to make a call on the cover of the Doug Brother Samuel, because they said, we sent over canned goods, and they don't have a can opener. One of them, we sent over Raymond noodles, and it said they didn't have no running water. And the man God got to gripping my heart over that. And we're not talking about down in Africa, neighbor. And we're talking about Jamestown, Tennessee. And we're talking about within 5 miles of the shadow of this church right here. And the man, I got thinking about that. And it's untelling Nathaniel how some folks really do live. And but I'm going to tell you this, thank God. If they'll get birthed into the family of God. If they'll come by the way of the blood. If they'll get in that family. And they'll stand back on this shore one day. And they'll look back and say, thank God. And thank God for every step of the way God had me. Amen. I say thank God for it. I'm saying this, listen to me. He got down that pit. I'm going to have to move on. I'm going to preach all night and I don't want to. I mean, I do want to, but my body will not let me. I'll assure you of that. In Genesis chapter number 45. This is what he said in verse number 4. You just listen. You got King James Bible to read just like mine. And Joseph comes to his realization. This is what he said. And Joseph, verse 4, Joseph said to his brethren, hey, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brethren, whom ye sold unto Egypt. He said, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me. He said, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Amen. What he thought was a deadly point, and what he thought was the worst place. Oh, stand on that side. He said, man, if God hadn't put me there, everybody would have died. Amen. If God hadn't done what he did, everybody around me would have been concerned. He said, thank God for the pit. Amen. But you know the story of Joseph. It don't just end there. He goes over to Potiphar's house, and Miss Kathy, he's got to feel like when he gets in Potiphar's house, like the favor of God's on his life. He's got lifted up out of that pit, and he could have ended up anywhere, but he ended up in a good man's house who hurriedly raised him up and put him over everything. And he got to be seen. He had to be said, hey, man, the Lord's helping me a little bit. I thought I was forsaken, but God's at least helping me a little bit. I'm not back home with my daddy. I'm not still in my coat of many colors, but at least God's had a little mercy on me right here. And then here come a godless Jezebel. Amen. And then she raised up, and I thought about, and number one, friend, listen to me. He was misunderstood. And they didn't understand his character was not for sale. Amen. And they said, she just grabbed him. She said, the master's gone. I want you to come lay with me. And he said, oh no, I don't know if you understand this. He said, I can't sin again him, and I can't sin again God. Amen. And he just left his coat there. And then you know the story. And she got to talking about, and she accused him falsely. And they folks in the house of God. And we sit here sometimes, and they've said false things about us. Amen. And what they said has not been right. And what they say is not true. And there's men, women, boys, and girls. And they've been misidentified. But oh, listen, oh, Joseph was too right there. But thanks be to God when he stood on this side. And when he stood over here, he said, and what you meant for evil, he said, God meant it for good. Amen. I thought about this, friend. He gets in that place. You know what the Bible says about it? It said that he was the overseer of Potiphar's house. And he must have thought, this is pretty good. But if you'd have left it alone, he was going to settle for something worse than what God wanted for him. Amen. God did not intend for Joseph to be over Potiphar's house. He intended for Joseph to be over the nation of Egypt. Amen. He intended for Joseph to be the ruler of the known world. Amen. And that Joseph was going to settle for far less. And I thought about how many times in my life I would have gladly settled for far less because I thought it was easy only for God to come along and cast us down into prison somewhere. Ask question whether he loves us. Have he done every bit of it to get us to a better place? Amen. You would never volunteer for none of those places. So God comes around sometimes. Amen. God, listen, you do whatever you want to do with this. I'm one preaching tonight. Amen. But I'm saying this to you, friend. I got thinking about them. There's no doubt in my mind. And that Valerie sitting back there, no doubt she would have signed up. She would not have signed up. If we'd have put out there who wants to sign up for cancer, I promise you she wouldn't have signed up for it. If she thought about those days of chemotherapy and all those days of sickness and the hair loss and how she felt, she wouldn't have signed up for it. But oh, standing on this side, I've read some of the stuff she's wrote. Standing on this side, side of that thing. And they're looking back, what we say, man, over here this looked like a curse. And but then standing in the light of God's eternal design, we look back and say, what you meant as a curse, have God meant as a blessing. Amen. And so I'll shout her out, thank God. And listen, friend, I'm saying this to you. And he got down there in the pit. That's what the Bible said. He said in verse number 8. He said, so now in verse chapter 45. He said, so now it was not unto you the Lord sent me. But God, he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. I'm simply saying this to you, friend. If you get in this place, first of all, when you look at the pit, you got to trust him with the course. But when you get in the, and when you get down there in the prison, and when you get in that place, and you get down to Potiphar's house, and you get in all those bad places, and you got to learn to trust God with your character, amen. And God will take care of his own. I'll guarantee it. Oh, listen. And it just goes bad. His whole life, it's just one tragedy. If we'd have known Joseph, we'd have had a prayer meeting for him. We'd have said, man, old Joe can't get a break. Said, y'all hear about Joe? Said, put him in a pit and they act like they killed him. Said, and all of a sudden he got falsely accused. Now he's down in jail for something he didn't even do. Something he didn't even do. He's sitting there in jail. He's sitting in the place. Listen, I believe everything in the Bible is where it's at, where it's supposed to be. Right on time. Right on time. Old Joseph's down there in the prison and feels like he's been forsaken by God. He's been forgotten by man. That old butler forgot about him. I mean, nobody around him seems to care about him. His daddy don't know he's alive. His brethren don't want nothing to do with him. Feels like God's just went on a break in his life. And at least, I really love my Bible. If I had one thing that I, an earthly possession to thank God for this side of eternity, that's where it would start at, I'll guarantee it. You go back and you read it, and it's in that place when he is put down in the prison in the book of Genesis, chapter number 39 over there. He goes down low in that prison where it says it over and over again, and it says four times, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him. And Joseph did not know that, and Joseph was living life. But when Moses comes back and he writes the book of Genesis, and the sweet Holy Ghost said, I need you to put something right there. I need you to put down the Lord was with him. And so 2,000 years later, when we get down in a prison and we wonder why we've been forsaken by God and forgotten by man, I turn to the Bible and I can be reminded that the Lord is with us. Amen. He's not went nowhere. And when we stand in our state of glorification and we look back over our life, we'll say the Lord was with us there. And the Lord was with us there. Yep. And the Lord was with us there. Everybody else left me. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. There's times, listen. I'm going to be honest. There was a time in my life going through church splits and things of that I about got bitter. But by the good grace of God, I hope to always grow better. And I look back, I didn't have to get to glory to find this out. Sometimes I got the Jerusalem Gazette down in an earthly paper, amen. And the Holy Ghost put down here and he said, well, what they meant for evil, he said, boy, I use that thing for good. Listen, I'm going to say this, I'm moving on quickly, but I was thinking about being down in Birmingham going through that thing the other day. You know how many folks who passed through Danny's drugstore come and sat in my office and said, preacher, we're going through a church split. And I said, oh, I know what that's like. Amen. I know what that's like. Thank God. I'm saying this to you, friends. Sometimes the Lord will comfort us in our tribulation, and we might be able to comfort those that are in any tribulation. Amen. Sometimes it ain't even about you. Amen. Sometimes you ain't done nothing wrong. You've not offended God. You've not offended the Holy Ghost. You've not done none of those things. God just lets you go through it. And years down the road, you'll figure it out. It's so you could help somebody else. I'm saying this. All I need to know is the Lord's with us. Amen. Joseph stands there and his brethren, you know their jaw's about down to here.
Right. Yeah.
You know, this don't have nothing to do with the message, but you know why? Because in his glorified typology state, he don't look the same as he did the last time they seen him.
Amen.
I could run the aisles on that. And I know they ain't about half of you care about it, but it makes me happy. He didn't look the same. I'm going to put this out there just so you know it. He didn't even talk the same. Woo. Glorified body, I will not look like I do right now. You won't neither. I won't even sound the same, I don't think. Yeah, man. All right, let me get back to where I was at. That was a sidebar, but it was making me pretty happy. Joseph standing there in that place, their jaws just hanging down. Can't even believe what they're seeing. They thought he was going to be a slave. They thought he was going to starve to death. They thought he was going to have stripes on his back. They thought that Joseph was going to be down. But the one they thought was going to be on the bottom, they're looking at him and he's on the top. Listen, this story ain't over yet. This story ain't over yet. And you might pass by my way sometime. So that preacher looks like he's on the bottom, but it ain't over yet. This thing ain't over yet. You say that preacher may look like he's struggling. I might. But this story ain't done yet. And I might have some more pits and prisons to go through. There might be some more trials and tribulations I got to walk through. And I'm going to tell you this, thank God. We standing up there with the Lord Jesus Christ in the glorified body. We'll all look back over our life and say every single thing the devil meant for evil, God turned it all for good. Amen. All of it. I just listen. The old Puritans, when the old Puritan preachers would preach, after they'd get done preaching, they'd just have everybody sit down and be quiet. They'd sit there for about an hour, and they'd just think about what was said. Before the devil come in, snatched it out. I just want you to think about what was just said. Let that thing really settle in your heart. When this thing's over, every arrow that the devil's ever thrown, every snare that he's ever set, ever trap, ever pit, all of it. When Joseph stands back here on this side, every single place that the devil and his brethren and the world tried to hinder him, God didn't just use some of them, not 75% of them, not 80, not 99, but every one of those troubles, standing on the side of glory, he said, you meant them every one for evil. I don't even know how God does it, Jordan. I don't even know how God does it. But here's all I know, is while they're digging the pit, and they got bad intentions on the inside of their heart. They're digging a pit on one side and they're piling a mountain up that he's going to set on the other. I don't know how he does it. I don't understand how that happens. But all I'm saying is God uses the worst of intentions to bring it to the best of good. But we can't fathom it all yet because we're in these bodies and we're in these minds. And the best, listen, I don't care. These folks in here, and you say you're an optimist, but we're all quite pessimistic, I'll promise you. I'll assure you of that. Fox News and CNN praise on it. All right, well, I ain't trying to kill it. I'm gonna finish preaching right here, though. I'm going to say this. When he stands in this day, this is the thing I thought about while he's down the prison. He wanted God to help him sooner. He wanted God to help him better. But you know, God left him there for 2 years. I don't like that preaching. God said, you stay right there. And for 2 years, the butler, honestly, I get mad when I read about the butler. I mean, I get physically angry when I read about the butler. I think, how in the world did you do somebody like that who helped you so much. I get angry. But I got thinking about today. And I think God probably just wiped his memory away for just a little while. He said, I don't need Joseph to come up just yet. It's not time for the famine. We got to be able to trust the clock of God. But I'll assure you of this. When it comes time for God to swing open the prison bars, God will swing them open wide. You'll get where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, in the shape you're supposed to be there in. Because the last time I checked, if you're committed unto God, God's got this thing planned out, and I believe it, don't you? I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet. I don't know where you're at tonight. I wish I could have preached it better. But I give you what I've got. I'm just saying this. I don't know where you're sitting at in this church today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what battles you're at. I don't know what trials you're enduring. I don't know none of that stuff, and honestly, it ain't none of my business. All I do know is this. When this thing's over, Rod, we're going to stand on this side. I believe we'll be able to say that every sickness, I really do believe this, Brother Dustin, I believe we'll be able to say every discouraging word, every trial that we've ever faced, every hardship we've ever had to overcome, I believe standing on the side of glory, we'll look back and we'll say, God, thank you for every one of those. Yeah. Every last one of those. You say, preacher, how do you say that? Why do you know that? I know what he told Timothy when Paul got to writing. And this is how he said it. He said, if we suffer with him, he said, we'll also reign with him, amen. I'll promise you, friend, these are coming today. Lisa, come play something, whatever she's going to set down. The Holy Ghost not dealing with folks' heart. You may be in a pit, you may be in a prison, you may be in Potiphar's house. I don't know where you're at, but the palace is coming. Amen. The Father's house is on its way, amen. When it comes, it'll be worth every minute of it. She plays. God help us tonight.